And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We just talked a little bit about beef cuts. Had a little skirt steak and a porterhouse. Those are great. There's lots of other ones out there. I'm really surprised neither one of us touched on a brisket, but that feeds a group.
That feeds a group.
That isn't just a meal. That's for a group of people. But I am getting some calls for graduations this year. Surprise me. Speaking of groups of people, I think that we're all getting our belly full of COVID, and some of these kids that were neglected their senior year for a lot of things during the COVID season now are graduating, and they're like, I want to have a party and bring your mask and we're going to eat kind of thing. So one of the popular things at a grad party is buffet food, right? You can drive by and get it and go from place to place. Pork works really good for that.
Pulled pork is good.
But
you know, when we can hook the trailer mounted smoker up to and take it places.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And plus it holds so well. So our next protein on the docket is pork. And I'll start with a pulled pork. If you've smoked anything in your life, you've probably tried what's called a pork butt. It's actually the shoulder, the front shoulder of a hog. And it's a roast, and you can buy it with the shoulder blade in it, or you can buy it deboned. If you buy it with the shoulder blade in it, you have a built-in internal thermostat. And when that shoulder blade is exposed about 2 inches, your meat's done, and you should be able to grab that blade and give a little shake, and it'll come out spick and span clean. That means it's cooked all the way through.
And it's done well enough to pull.
That's right. Exactly. And the thing with pulled pork is if you've not done this on a smoker, please do. You're going to get it for $1.39 to $1.59 a pound. You know what? For 10 bucks, take a chance. Okay? Because they're 6, 7, 8 pound roasts, each one of them. You can just, you can't hurt the stuff. But there's a few things you need to do.
It's very forgiving to start.
Right.
Well, the first thing, you got to rub your butt.
Right, you do. And what that means is that you're going to open this thing in the package, and there's going to be this fat cap on it. Leave it on there. And then the other three sides, or five sides, if you will, there's ends and four sides, right? So the other sides of that thing are going to be exposed meat. And what you want to do is you can rub it with a little mustard to make it sticky, or if you're putting the seasonings on it right as soon as you get out of the package, it's probably still a little damp. Either way, you want something to help you stick the seasoning to the pork butt, right? And I'll use it's usually got sugar, paprika, salt, pepper, garlic, any good barbecue rub.
Yeah, there's so many rubs out there. You go over to Sobeys, you go over to any of our other friends like Garrett's or anybody else, they're going to have a shelf full of those. Even the local grab-and-grill grocery is going to have some rubs in it. And like you said, the big deal is getting it to stick.
Right.
And I like the cheap yellow mustard as a way to stick it on there, because now I got a little mustard flavor in there.
Right. Yep. And so what happens then is you got this piece of meat about the size of a volleyball. Okay? Little different shape, but about the size of a volleyball. And you're going to fire up your smoker for this, because this is low and slow. This is something that's going to take you 7 to 10 hours to cook, depending on the equipment that you're using and what the temperature is outside.
Yeah, you start this baby right after breakfast.
Right.
With morning coffee.
Right.
And by the time you're done doing all your yard work on a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
It's going to be the time for that next step of pulling it off.
That's right. So when I'm going to get a smoker going, and you can use a pellet grill, you can use a charcoal smoker, you can use a wood burner, whatever you have. And you're going to want to get a little smoke going, and you get the cooking chamber up to about 280 degrees is where I like to get it. Okay. And then what I do is I use lump charcoal in my smoker, and then because that is a very consistent heat, you can damper it down and it'll stay consistent. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But then I also use a chunk of flavor wood, whether it's a piece of apple or hickory or some other fruit wood, piece of cherry, or whatever it may be. But Bob just cut down some hickory trees in his yard, and I got
you know, this time of year, I've got the chainsaw on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
I also have some extra onion sacks in the back of the truck.
Right.
Because if you see that opportunity, like maybe some of these orchards or something have some trim wood.
Right.
And they throw it off in a big brush pile out by the road.
Right.
They don't mind you go get a few sticks.
Right. And that apple's really good.
And especially this time of year because it's got some sap in it.
Yeah.
And now that's going to be a little extra sweet.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. So I've got this thing seasoned up. I got my smoker at 280. I like to put the fat side down on my smoker. There's a 50-50 on that. Up or down, doesn't matter. I like it down. I'm never going to eat it. Okay? It creates a barrier and it renders off a little bit. I don't need a bath of fat over my pork. I've got it seasoned like I like it. And I put the fat side down. And you set it and don't look at it. Don't open it up. And what's going to happen is in I would recommend an internal thermometer if you're just getting started, a probe that goes in and it's going to tell you what the internal temperature of that meat is.
And you can go out and get these that have a little wireless remote.
Yep.
If you spend the big dollars, you can get the ones that talk to your phone. But that'll solve your curiosity. You don't have to look at it. You can check that temperature right. without ever opening the lid.
Because the key to this is consistency. You don't want spikes and lows in the temperature. You want it consistent, which is why you don't want to look, right? So you got this temperature probe in there, and what you're going to find is this pork butt gets up to about 145 to 150 degrees, and it does what's called a stall.
Yep.
And the stall, it just sits there. It's been getting warm. You're looking at it, and all of a sudden it stops. And it's the weirdest phenomenon, but it happens all the time. It's not your equipment. It's just what Mother Nature does. And that thing will sit there for about 2 hours at that 145, 150 temperature, and then, bam, it'll pop, and you'll get up to your – I cook to 192 on pork butt. If you go over 200, it gets a little mealy. It'll break it down too much, and if you don't get over 190, then it doesn't pull real well. So but that's why the temperature is important. And if you've got that probe in there, you're still not looking. You know, you can monitor the temperature of your smoker, and you'll get that stuff off. Now, here's the cool part about pulled pork. If I've got a group of people coming over, I time my cook so that I'm done 3 or 4 hours before they get there. And I wrap that stuff up in foil after I take it off the grill, put it in a dry cooler. It'll be just as hot, just as juicy, just as warm 4, 5, 6, 7 hours from now. So I'm not messing with that when I'm cooking other things for my guests.
You know, my go-to pork thing's a little simpler.
Good, man.
Because it's that time of the year a lot of people haven't used their grill all year. And it's break-in time for the season.
Sure.
Right? Now, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to light that thing up and I'm getting her as hot as possible because I don't know what crawled in there over the winter.
Right.
There might be a little spider web. There might be, you know, a fival or something like that. I want to drive them all out.
Right.
Kind of sterilize the rig. And as it's coming back down, one of my favorite things to do is to just go get some either blade steaks or bone-in pork chops.
Yep.
Just put them out there on that. You don't need anything more than salt and pepper on them. Put it out there on that grill and get that fast sear as that whole rig's coming back down.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it mellow and get your grill marks on it. And grill marks, that's another thing, is don't move your meat until it releases.
Right. And what does that mean, really, when it releases? Well, how do you know that?
If it's sticking to the grate and you got your tongs out, because
right.
we're not assaulting this with no fork, okay?
Right.
We're going to get our tongs out and you just gently lift an edge. And if it comes away from the grate, hey, you got your grill mark. And
right.
You're time to turn.
Right.
That's
called the Maillard principle.
Well, the Maillard effect is how it browns.
Right.
Okay, and it's a chemical reaction. We talk about that in beer, too.
Yep.
But when it releases, then it's time to turn it. And when I flip it over on that second side, a lot of times I like to put a slice of pineapple on top.
Mmm.
And when I put that slice of pineapple on top, what I'm probably going to do with it is some thin sliced sweet onion.
Really? Pineapple and onion. Interesting combination.
Put it right on top on the second, after you've done the flip. And let all that juice come back down and soften those grill marks a little bit. Soften that Maillard. And you can pretty much let it coast out, then pull that off, put it on a platter. Like you said in the last segment, we got to let it rest a little bit. Don't be rushing your meat.
Right, right.
You know, you got time to get the salad ready. You got time to do that presentation stuff.
Yep.
You know, and if you use that pineapple coring tool, you can pull that thing out and make a big drink cocktail thing out of it, too.
Oh, how cool. Always good stuff, man. All right. Well, sorry about the long diatribe about cooking a pork butt, but it takes a long time to cook them and takes a long time to talk about it. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to do a little yard bird and some fishing. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.